Welcome to the Fremont Presbyterian Church podcast. Here at Fremont, we create space for people to become lifelong followers of Jesus, and we relentlessly pursue his transformation of our neighborhood, our city, and the world. Here's today's message.
So, I'm wondering, have you ever had a neighbor come and offer to help you with yard work? It's becoming a rarer gift, right? Right? So when we first moved here some 8 years ago, you know, when you move from Tennessee where we live to California, we brought some things and we left some things behind. And our first fall here, we discovered that the trees around us, we have those sweet gum trees that drop the spiky balls. Anybody have those in their yard? It's not only the leaves, but it's the spiky balls, and they clog up everything and gutters and all that stuff. And it was starting to rain. I had let the leaves pile up a little bit. I was behind on my chores. And I was out there in the rain with this. And you're all laughing, as most of the people in my neighborhood were probably doing, like I'm sitting there blowing it. And then a neighbor up the street, his name was Pat, he comes down with this gas backpack blower. And over the next couple of hours, 2 hours, Pat helped me with all of the leaves. And I remember thinking, like, I was super grateful, and I was like, who does that kind of thing? Who does that? It's a rare gift, right? When someone will sacrifice their time, their comfort, and their backpack blower. It's a rare thing to have somebody sacrifice that. But what did I do the next time that, you know, the leaves came down? Did I just call Pat? Hey, Pat, will you, you know, come and help me? No. I went and bought my own backpack blower, electric, because, hey, California, right? So the point of that is that there's a discomfort that we all have, isn't it, with someone sacrificing for us. We don't want to be in that position of need where we're always calling on somebody to give of themselves. We want to take care of things ourselves. There's a deep message in this backpack blower right here about the things that we want to take care of because we don't want someone else to have to sacrifice for us. And to be honest, my family and I, we've been the beneficiary of a lot of people's sacrifices over the last 8 years. I was reminded this past week that when we moved here, there was a family in this church that gave up their home for not just 1 month, not just 2 months, not just 3 months, but 4 months. Mark and Cheryl Eschoff gave up their home so our family would have a place to live while we were looking for a house and our house was trying to sell in Tennessee. And this past week, as one of our cars died, they're giving us use of one of their cars. Who does that kind of thing? Someone that understands what generosity has been given to them and they have poured out into others. So Mark and Cheryl, thank you for your generosity and being an example to, I think, all of us of what it means to sacrifice for others. The reality is that none of us want to continue to live in that environment. My wife and I, we're looking for a car to replace the one that we lost because we don't want to always be like, hey, can we borrow that car forever? So we always have within us this desire to take care of things ourselves, to get it done. And that's probably a unique part of our culture, right? We take care of things ourselves, or that's a value that is very much instilled in our culture and in our society. But the reality is, I think everybody in this room could probably stand up here and tell a similar story with maybe different visuals of somebody sacrificing for them. You can remember that, right? You know their name. You remember how desperate you were and how somebody came in and sacrificed their time, their talent, their finances, or something like a backpack blower for you. You can remember that because the idea of sacrifice still speaks to us today. So today we are talking, if you haven't gotten it so far, we are going to talk about this theme of sacrifice. And as we read today's passage, I'll confess, I think we'll all read this and say, this sounds offensive to my modern ears, that somebody would give up their life to save another, or a life would have to be given so that others might have life. That idea sounds offensive, but I want you to take a step back for a moment and just think about leaf blowers or something and how sacrifice at every level speaks to you very deeply. And so an ultimate sacrifice of life should lead to a changed life. So something greater than a neighbor sacrificing a leaf blower is here. Something greater than a sacrifice of time, finances, houses, or cars is here. Someone greater is here. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 11. If you're just joining us in this series, we've been making our way slowly through this book. We'll be in it until the end of October, and we're just up to verse 11. But just as a brief recap, the book begins with God calling this prophet, this man assigned to speak God's word, to go to a place called Nineveh. But what does Jonah do? Jonah boards a ship and goes the opposite direction. He runs the other way. And this horrible storm comes. The sailors on the boat with Jonah are terribly afraid. This group of sailors that make their living on the water, they are terrified of what the storm means. They each call out to their gods and deities while Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the boat. They wake Jonah up. They ask for him to pray to his God, but Jonah stays silent. It's only when the sailors cast lots, kind of like rolling dice, and the lot falls on Jonah, do we hear any words from him. So that's where we are. Jonah 1 and verse 11, and it reads like this. It says that the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So the sailors asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," Jonah replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." And then they took Jonah, and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This is God's word for us today. Now, I found several things that are very interesting in this passage. You notice the very first thing is that as the sea continues to rage, the sailors asked Jonah, the guilty person, what to do. Just take a note of that and file that away for later, that the sailors turned to the man who has just said, "Hey, I know it's my fault." By the way, how often do we hear those words in today's world? "It's my fault." It's all kinds of blame elsewhere. But Jonah does take ownership of it, and the sailors ask, "What must we do to you? What must we do to you?" Jonah knew that he was guilty. He knew that he had run away. He told the sailors that. And we are going to see later in the book that Jonah is at odds with God about a lot of things. Jonah is at odds with God about a lot of things. He goes the other way at the beginning of the book, and later we're going to discover he doesn't like the way that God does things and who God really is. And so Jonah knows in his heart that he is guilty. And this idea, though, that you could pick a human being up and throw him overboard and sacrifice him to the waters sounds offensive to our ears, right? The taking of life to make something happen. But we need to understand that in Jonah's culture and in the culture of the sailors, the idea of sacrificing something to appease an angry God would have been common. It would have been common. Now, one of the things some of you are going, is that what's happening when I read the Old Testament, like the book of Leviticus? Because I know everybody's reading Leviticus, right? But is that what's happening? Well, one of the things we need to understand when we see the evidence of sacrifice, and Dave read the passage from the book of Hebrews, these priests that would offer sacrifice, it's not to appease an angry God. One of the first things that we learn about the God in the Bible is that he describes himself and is described as a God who is slow to anger, gracious and compassionate, and abounding in love. And one of the things that we do understand about the idea of these sacrifices is that it was more for what it did to God's people to recognize how often they needed a Savior, how often they needed deliverance, how often they needed reconciliation with God. This offering of repeated sacrifices in the Old Testament is evidence that you and I are broken. Daily, you and I could come before God and say, God, I have broken a relationship with you. I have not done what you have asked me to do. I have ignored this need or whatever it might be. Now, sacrifices weren't so much about appeasing a God who is angry as informing us about our need for a Savior and the brokenness that lies within us. But we'll note this, that Jonah tells the sailors, throw me overboard. But what do the sailors do? Even though they are fearful for their lives, do they immediately do that? You'll notice in the text, they don't. Instead, they try harder. They try harder. It says that they tried to row back to land. They were not going to take this person's life. And finally, they see it's not going to work. Their efforts will not save them from this storm. But you'll notice that at this point, they cry out to God. They pray to God. They know that what they are being asked to do is wrong. And even though Jonah says that he is guilty, the sailors say, Lord, don't hold us responsible for taking this innocent man's life. Now, you and I are never called on a daily basis to sacrifice a living thing to reconcile a relationship with God. You and I are not called to place something on an altar and sacrifice it to restore that relationship. As we read earlier in the book of Hebrews, a sacrifice was made once and for all. But how many of you deep in your hearts believe that sometimes you've got to show God that you're worthy of his love? You do something in your life because you think that that's really what's required. That God will somehow look at you with a little more favor if you do this thing. You see, that's how hard I think that you and I have to struggle with the idea of sacrifice. In a silly way that I didn't want to ask Pat to come and help me again. I wanted to take things in my own hands with this backpack blower. I don't like the idea of someone's sacrifice covering my garbage and junk. And so we often still struggle with this idea that we got to do something to show God that we're really worthy of his love and acceptance. But friends, we have to understand the beauty of that word that was read. A sacrifice was made once and for all. Any idea that you and I are having to do certain things to appease an angry God is misguided and hurtful. So, I want us to just picture for a moment. Some of you might picture this better closing your eyes. I'll wake you up in a few minutes if you start to doze off. But I want you to picture the moment for a minute in which the sailors actually pick Jonah up and throw him into the water. Picture what's been going on before. Picture how high the waves are, how much the boat is rocking. Those of you that are seasick, grab something and, you know, get ready. But I want you to picture that moment for a minute. And then as Jonah sinks into the water, how the scene completely changes. I want you to picture that moment for a minute of how the seas that were white with the crest of the waves, how the boat that was going back and forth and back and forth or up and down and up and down now is completely calm. What would you do in that moment? You know, these moments are rare for us in our world, right? When something totally unexplainable happens, when something so holy happens, and we realize in that moment that God must be real and that God is present, think for a moment, what would you do in that moment? Would you do anything else but worship? Would you do anything else but bow your knee? Would you do anything else but, as the sailors did, pray to God? Some of the commentaries that I read said, you know, maybe we picture the sailors lighting a fire on the ship right there and offering a sacrifice. Likely not to have happened on a boat made of wood, probably. But at the port that they most likely sought out a place where they could offer a sacrifice to this God. And they made vows to that God. They made promises to that God because they realized in that moment that the power and the presence of God was real. When we know that God is present, we worship. We worship. Now, I want to return to that idea that I started with at the beginning where it says that the sailors asked a guilty Jonah what they should do. The sailors asked a guilty Jonah what they should do. And it reminded me of another time in the Bible where someone asked a guilty crowd what should be done. A man named Pontius Pilate asked a crowd, a guilty crowd, what should I do with this man called Jesus of Nazareth? What should I do with this man called Jesus of Nazareth? Do you remember what the crowd said? They said, crucify him. What was interesting, if you read that text again, you'll see that Pontius Pilate tries to get the crowd to do something else. But the text then says, but the crowd shouted all the more louder, crucify him. Crucify him. And friends, you and I sit here underneath this idea that God so loved the world, put on flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus Christ. And he told them, he told us that yes, he would suffer and die for you and for me. Christ suffered and died, allowed himself to be arrested, condemned, tortured, and crucified. You know, Jesus often said this in the Gospels, that when he spoke about his mission and what he came to do, he said and spoke of the sign of Jonah. The crowd around him was asking for him to prove something about who he was, to show everybody a sign that showed that he was from God, that he had power, and that he was real. And when they did that, Jesus said to them, "No sign is going to be given to you but the sign of Jonah." And in the coming weeks, we're going to learn a little bit more about what that he meant by that. But whenever he said that, he ended that teaching with these words: "Something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Jonah is here." And while we can read this text today and we can understand, oh, Jonah allowed himself to be thrown overboard and the storm stilled, that was wonderful for that group of sailors, and that group of sailors probably worshiped the Lord at some temple. We don't know from the text whether they became lifelong followers of God or not. That's not the point. But if that caused that group to worship, something greater than Jonah has happened for you and for me. Because when Christ submitted himself to the trial, the arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion, that sacrifice stilled a much greater storm of sin and death, of that broken relationship that you and I might have had with God. Christ took that upon himself. Something greater than Jonah is here. And I don't know where any of us are here in this day, feeling like perhaps I need to do something, we need to do something to show God how much we love him. And he says to us, "I have given you my son. Something greater than Jonah is here." Receive that gift of that sacrifice that, as the Gospel of John says, takes away the sins of the world. Something greater than Jonah is here.
You've been listening to the Fremont Presbyterian Church podcast. For more information about our church, visit fremontpress.org. We'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our service times are 9 a.m. in the sanctuary for classic worship and 10:30 a.m. in the Community Life Center for modern worship. You can catch the live stream of both services at fremontpress.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to get the latest episode each week. Thanks for listening.